Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Adam Talks, a podcast that takes an alternative look at retirement. This is Adam Bergman, founder and CEO of IRA Financial. If you want to learn more, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on social media. Just search IRA Financial. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Adam Talks. I'm Adam Bergman, tax attorney, founder of IRA Financial, and this is the Bitcoin Miami Conference recap. So I know I've been doing a lot of Bitcoin conference content the last couple of weeks, so I promise this will be the last one, but just wanted to give everyone a recap about my experience at really an amazing conference, festival, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's probably at least 10 to 15,000 people each day, Friday and Saturday, at $1,300 a clip. Pretty impressive. People from all over the world. I met people from China, Singapore, Russia, UK, Ukraine, France, Germany, Israel, Dubai, UAE, everywhere, Canada. It was crazy. And then obviously people from all over the country. So it was a really interesting event, and definitely a signal to me that COVID's over, because I never shook so many people's hands, like hugged people. It literally felt like 2019. It was felt pretty good. So I just wanted to give an update because I just did a video. I just posted it on YouTube, kind of filming me through the conference. I got to speak to, I don't know how many, 1,000 people. I gave away probably 800 t-shirts, 300 books. There was an amazing amount of energy in the crowd, just talking to people. So I just wanted to kind of re-express my feelings, my thoughts about, you know, Bitcoin, where it's going, what it is, what it can do, and, you know, what you guys should do. So I came away from this conference, and I'll go through some of the quotes that I didn't get to hear all the speakers. They had some really cool people there, all the way from Floyd Mayweather, Jake Paul, to, you know, Jack Dorsey, the Winklevoss twins, Tim Draper, Michael Saylor, Tony Hawk. So I met a bunch of like YouTube people. It's very, very interesting people. But what I came across, or what I came through in terms of what I believe this conference means, is that, you know, Bitcoin's not going away. You get 25,000-30,000 people paying $1,300 a ticket. If the tickets were $200, there'd be 100,000 people there. It's not going away. There's the community is super passionate. There's a real sense of purpose in this Bitcoin crypto community, and it's just not going away. So the question is, what is it? We don't know, right? Is it a currency? Don't know. Maybe the Lightning Network will make it more scalable. Is it a store of value? You know, I don't know, right? If Bitcoin can drop 20% one day because Elon Musk says it's using too much energy, then maybe it's not a great store of value. I don't know. Things change. It's only been in existence 11 years, right? It's gone from, you know, $15 to $65,000 in 10 years. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what it's going to be used for. We've heard El Salvador's looking at it as a currency. Definitely a big theme in the conference was inflation. They had a really cool, they did a really cool thing where they had a dumpster full of Venezuelan $50 bills. Literally, I mean, a million of these $50 bills. They were throwing them, giving them away to everyone. And, you know, the point was, you know, money's crap, right? Obviously, it's not U.S. dollars. People would be grabbing them, but Venezuelan dollars. And literally, people were just like, just stepping on them. No one even bothered picking it up. It was really something to be seen. But the idea is that, hey, inflation's real. This is an amazing statistic that I actually listened to, and I had to Google because when I heard it, I didn't believe it. 35% of all dollars were created in the last 12 months. Okay, I'm going to say that again. 35% of all the dollars were created in the last 12 months. So we have $4 or $5 trillion pumped into the economy in the last 12 to, you know, 15 months with another infrastructure bill on the way. You know, there is a risk that all that cash is going to, you know, trigger a devaluation of the US dollar and inflation. And that was a huge theme speaking to people on different sides of the Bitcoin community, whether they were on the investor side, the mining side, the exchange side, just on a social conscious side. They were all focused on that idea that cash is becoming trash and Bitcoin can change, become the internet currency. So I'm going to go through a couple of interesting quotes. This is going to be kind of a short podcast because my voice is super hoarse. I spoke to so many people that, you know, I barely can talk. I really killed my voice. So it's like the first time I'm able to talk in a few days. There's a couple things. Jack Dorsey, he spoke and he talked about a bankless population. Internet needs a native currency. We need to be able to transact with it every day. Right, so that's the idea, right? You can transact with Bitcoin cross border, one currency. The problem is it's too expensive now. You know, to spend 2-3% commission to buy and sell or use it is too expensive, right? I spoke to a company that wants to use payroll to let people get paid in Bitcoin, but they want 3%. So it's still too expensive. It's not scalable. It's too slow. The cost of going on the blockchain is too expensive. We have the energy issues, right? There was a lot of chatter of clean energy. Everyone's trying to find ways to mine. What's Bitcoin mining? Mining is when you use a lot of energy for computers to solve complex algorithms to create blocks on the blockchain and be rewarded with a Bitcoin. So the mining issue is real, right? There was a lot of conversations about finding ways to do clean energy. China was big on the conversation list. China's crackdown, their concern about energy consumption too, which a lot of people felt that could be great opportunities for the US and Canada if some of that mining comes here, but it's still taking up a lot of energy, right? And that's just something that we're gonna have to figure out a way. Will Bitcoin move to a different type of authenticity, something like in the middle of a proof of work, proof of stake? So we'll see. Tony Hawk, he talked about, again, he believes it's the future of finance. He says he's had Bitcoin since 2012. Other people talked about someone said it's actually the most held asset outside of the US dollar. And so obviously there's a lot of optimism. There's a lot of people, you know, pumping up Bitcoin. It's going to go to 500,000 or 250. I mean, that's, you know, obviously, you know, some people have ulterior motives of what they're trying to do. My bottom line is this. I know it's here to stay. I believe we're in the first inning of a 9-inning game. It's just starting. It's 10, 11 years old. It's super raw, still too geeky, but it has real application globally. There's a super passionate community. Kind of reminds me of like a Grateful Dead concert. I mean, you have so many passionate people, real warmth in the community. And I just think, again, and I've said this many times, the reward outweighs the risk, right? So even if you don't know where Bitcoin's going, that shouldn't stop you from buying it. Again, I'm not saying put all your money in Bitcoin. I'm saying if you have a little extra cash, I don't think it's a bad thing to put a little in Bitcoin. I personally believe it meshes well with a retirement account, obviously. Yeah, I'm not the most objective person saying that, considering I own a company that has a platform that lets you use your retirement money to buy cryptos through Gemini, but I think it makes sense, right? I think at the end of the day, and I use this analogy, you know, 10 years ago, the price of Bitcoin was $35, between 15 and $35. Imagine where it's going to be in 10 years. Look how much has changed in the world in the last 10 years. Look how much has changed just in the last year and a half since COVID. Imagine where we're going to be in 10 or 15 years. And I gave the example of Wynwood, where the conference was in Miami. So anyone who knows Miami, been in Miami, Wynwood is a super popular area. It's like probably the hottest tourist area. There's all kinds of really cool art and tons of tourism and real estate's like off the charts. It's super expensive. 10 years ago when I moved essentially from New York to Miami, Wynwood was nothing. It was an industrial zone. You couldn't find a tourist within blocks. No one was there. No one would go there. It was actually quite dangerous. Now, look where it is. So just if you have a long-term approach and you look at Bitcoin and say, wow, I don't know where it is now. I don't know what it's going to be used for, but in 10 years, wow, there's a potential that it could be worth a lot more and the application could be a lot broader. Yes, It could also potentially be flat or even go the other way. I don't know. But I'm saying if you have a little bit of money and you put in a Roth IRA and let it sit there, why not take that risk reward proposition and do it in a tax-free account? And maybe that's, you know, me as a tax attorney putting my hat on, but I think that just makes a lot of financial and tax sense. Just do it in a Roth IRA, leave it there. Some people say, well, I make too much to do a Roth. You can do a backdoor Roth, and then you can just simply you know, convert it to Roth tax-free. So it's super simple. And again, I just was really, really blown away by the conference, to be honest. I don't know if 2022 will be this crazy. Someone told me that they went in 2019. I wasn't there. They said there was like 2,000 people. So obviously, the immense amount of popularity, it was all over the news, all over the country, all over the world. I have a friend in Canada said, hey, they saw this Bitcoin conference. Yeah, it has to do with, you know, end of COVID, Miami, people are just dying to do something. The price of Bitcoin, the community being like super hyped about the price, feeling super good about what they've believe in, where they've invested. And again, at $1,300 a ticket, they sold out. I had a friend that had to go on Twitter and pay $500 a ticket to get in, like on the black market. So there was a lot of demand. It wasn't BS. There was literally like 20,000 people there. I was there on Thursday. They had this whale event where it was only, I think it was $20,000 tickets. Where all the big players were there. Yeah, there was only about 1,000 people there. I was like, oh man, it's pretty quiet. I was sitting at our booth. I was like, oh man, we have like 800 t-shirts here. Not sure I'm gonna be able to give these away. I think maybe this was all hype. And then I show up Friday morning at like 8:45 and I'm like, oh my God, there was literally 8,000 people lined up around the block when I got there. I was like, oh my God, this is legit. This is gonna be crazy. And it was. It was so hot in there. People were passing out. They had paramedics there with chairs giving people IVs in the conference. I mean, it was bananas. It was craziness. People were having the best time. It was super hot too outside. It was like 90 degrees, humid. But you know what? It was so much fun. I lost my voice, like I mentioned, and I had a great time. And I met amazing people from, again, all over the world. And hopefully, you know, some will be friends. And I learned so much from so many cool people doing really cool stuff in the Bitcoin crypto community. So anyways, that really had an amazing time. I would definitely recommend going if you can next year, wherever it is. It's usually in California, LA, but who knows, maybe they'll bring it back to Miami. And it was just so much fun. And it definitely pumped me up more on Bitcoin. We'll see, you know, where I am in the next few months, but I'm a big believer, again, reward versus risk. I just think the technology's there. There's too much momentum. It's not going away. Maybe you'd argue 18. You said, hey, Adam, 18 was almost 20,000 Bitcoin. In 19, it dropped to 3,000 or so. You couldn't give it away. And that's true. I had the same platform in 19 and 20. Cryptos were not popular. People were not doing it. Okay. And then COVID hit and Bitcoin went from 5,200 on March 15th to 64,000, you know, a few months ago. So yeah, it will drop. It's volatile. The market will come down. It's already, you know, hit 35. It's kind of plateauing around there. It could drop more, right? But I don't really care. I tell people, don't look at the price today. Don't even bother checking it out. Just look at it in 10 years. That's the goal. Put away $500 a year in a Roth IRA. And I did some numbers. I came up with some really cool numbers when I was talking. Because when you look at cryptos, you can have some fun with, you know, percentages, annual rate of return, because of the enormous you know, potential growth of cryptos, right? Let's do Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin was up like 100% last year. That's also been dropping in past. But I'm going to throw some numbers out there and just get an idea why I think it's so important to put in an IRA. Okay, let's say you put in $1,000 a year, starting from 28 to 72. Okay, and let's say you got an expected rate of return of 15%. When I say expected rate of return, that's an annual rate of return on your IRA. Okay, and that assumes it's compounded annually and your contributions are made at the beginning of the year. So 15%, you'd have $3.5 million. $1,000 a year from 28 to 72, $3.5 million. If you did it in a taxable account at a 30% tax rate, you'd only have $840,000. Okay, so you turn $44,000 of contributions into $3.5 million. That's a 15% rate of return, which again, in the crypto world is possible. Let's do a 10% rate of return. just trying to throw some numbers out there. 10% rate of return, 717,000. If you did it in a taxable account, 284. Now let's have some fun. Let's say you did $5,000 a year in a Roth IRA buying Bitcoin starting at 30 to 72, assuming a 12% rate of return, okay? 5.4 million. So it's crazy. Now, obviously, I'm not gonna say 30% rate of return. Let's go 10 to 15% annual rate of return. Again, I'm not saying that will happen, but it's plausible. It's plausible that over the next 30 years, you can average 12 to 15% in Bitcoin. It's possible. Is it 100%? No, but it's possible. Now, again, let's say you just do 8%, right? I'm just giving you some numbers here. $5,000, 30 to 72, 8%, 1.6 million. So it's going to work. It's based off deferral compounding interest. The beauty of Bitcoin is the reward is so much greater than the risk, I believe, and the reward could be, you know, astronomical. So there you have it. From a tax financial standpoint, that's why I think investing in Bitcoin, even if you don't understand it, even if you're really unsure about its future potential and its applicability in the global financial market, the fact that it is such an exciting asset that has potential global, not just US, global potential, I think it's worth the risk. And I think putting in $500 or $100, whatever you feel comfortable with, kind of as like a bet, just do it in a Roth IRA and leave it there. And don't even look. Just keep putting the money in, keep adding Bitcoin or whatever crypto you want, and just leave it there. And that's it. If you're buying one crypto, I would do Bitcoin. And I would just buy it every year and leave it. And in 20, 30 years, look at it, and hopefully you're going to have a heart attack by how much money you have. And again, listen, let's say you don't, right? Let's say you put in $1,000 a year from 30 to 72, right? So that's 42,000 bucks. And let's say instead of an 8% rate of return, you have a 1% rate of return, right? So you have 52,000. Let's say you have a 0% rate of return, 42,000, you get your money back. Let's say you lose half of it. So you lost 20 grand, okay? But the reward is enormous, right? Where you look at that 10 or 15% rate of return. So instead of that $1,000 earning 1%, let's say it earned 13%. Right now you're at 1.46 million. So it's just, again, it's betting, it's gambling. Yeah, that's what it is. In the next 10, 15 years, I'm gambling and betting that the applicability of Bitcoin will be something that I just have not, could not foresee today, but will be super valuable. And yeah, I could be wrong, but I'm willing to put 1,000 or whatever I'm willing to do each year as a risk reward. So that was it. It was a lot of fun. I met a bunch of clients. It was amazing. People came up to me like, oh, I'm a client of IRA Financial. And then we started talking. So that made me like super, super content. Meeting so many clients, actually. I couldn't believe how many people there were actually clients of IRA Financial. It made me, you know, so proud. And I felt really good that so many smart people found us and were able to use our services through Gemini, which, again, just, you know, a quick promo here. It's the best way to buy cryptos. It's flat fee. You control the cryptos. We link your account to Gemini. You trade on your phone. You can pull it off the exchange and you control the keys. And I'll say, the last thing I'll say is what Jack Dorsey said, no keys, no cheese. And I'm a big believer in gaining the ability to hold your private keys, not leave it on the exchange where the exchange is basically holding your private keys and promising you they'll give you your cryptos back when you want it. Here you control it, you own it, it's on a cold wallet. And then you can use a decentralized exchange like Uniswap or SushiSwap to do like Ethereum coin trades or other stuff. So it's the only platform in the country that will allow you to use retirement money and keep your private keys, flat fees, no commissions. It's really a no-brainer. That's it. I hope I get to meet more of you amazing people soon. And really appreciate you guys listening, watching, subscribe, give us a like, and talk to everyone again next week. Take care.